The only reason why I ultimately decided to go to Denver was because these fucking losers were tweeting at me. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, then, you know, you show up and arrest me or whatever. Because this is fucking wild. Why the fuck are you tweeting at me saying I should go to jail?
For that, he should go to prison. So he's calling for live streamers to go to prison. Reminder, there's nothing illegal about what Destiny said at all. You can disagree with it, but calling for him to go to jail, to go to prison on Twitter is only something that Elon Musk would do and the right-wingers would do.
Somebody said, why bother doing this anymore? You've got enough money. I can tell you're frustrated. I feel it's getting dangerous. Why are you still doing this? Is it worth it? At the end of the day, I feel like we can do better as a country. I guess that's the only reason I bother showing up or doing anything. So I feel like there's like a better path or course for this country. I don't know how big or how minor or how important or whatever role or whatever my impact is, but I feel like walking away seems kind of sad. I'm just going to pull out of the Denver event. Because I feel like we're a little bit too hot, and I feel like I'm kind of like a good target. Like if you're looking for like the opposite side debater, who's like one of the most inflammatory, invisible people, I feel like I'm probably like a good target for that. But after I started getting bullied by like Elon and Don Jr. and everybody, I'm like, okay, well, now I gotta go. Okay, I'm not leaving now. You know, it sounds kind of cringe, but I like letting bullies win. Like when people start to do a thing where you can tell that the design of this is to effect some kind of chill on people or to make people, you know, withdraw or retreat. It makes me kind of want to push harder into it.
If trans people are such effective assassins, why'd we kick them all out of the military?
Looking at this one right here, I want to get this f***ing thing a gun.
Are you serious, dude? Get the f*** out of here. Get this f***ing loser out of here. Are you serious? Why are you pointing out people in the audience and bullying people? Are you serious? Bully me. I'm up here, okay? Make fun of me, all right?
What does it even look like to do better, though? I can't imagine things just switching directions without things getting worse first. I'm going to try to be less shameless for promoting Dems. One thing that's always hard is... Pia, thanks for the tier 5 subber. It's always hard when you're promoting your own side because it's, like, obviously expected, you know? And it's obviously what people would think you're going to do. And it serves your own interests a lot. So, like, let's say that you were to do, oh, like, today I broke down all the races and I figured out that Caucasian is the best race of all the attributes. It was like, oh, well, of course you did. You're fucking white, you know? But I actually do feel that way. I think that white people... No, I'm just kidding. I do think right now that there is a corrosive rot in America, and I think that a lot of it is largely due to the conservative party in this country. I think that it didn't happen overnight. I don't think that it happened because of Trump. Although Trump, I think, revealed more than pushed it. He did both, 50-50. He revealed a lot, and then he pushed further on a lot. There has to be some kind of, like, awakening moment on the conservative side where they realize, like, oh, shit, like, we're actually really fucked. We've fucked around for way too long, and now we've driven all of us, like, off the edge, and we need to find a way to bring it back. And I've been watching, like, you know, like, Hutch clips and everything. And I feel like there's too large a fixation on, I think I watched some of this.
That rib with $5, we just need enough. MAGA seems too afraid to disavow Trump's rhetoric. Acts like this will expose that to their base. IMO, time will tell. That's the other thing too, guys. I don't know. You got to stop looking at this like Trump is winning right now. He's not. He is not winning right now. His numbers are at the lowest point they've ever been. The bill that they passed is super unpopular. Congress is a shit show, and it has been for ever since. I mean, it's been that way for a while, but he's going to be president for the next 3 years. That's just how presidential terms work. But he is thoroughly toxic for the party. Thoroughly toxic. All this shit does not make him stronger. It makes him weaker. Don't you guys get that? Unless you're just totally black-pilled on America. But he is so politically vulnerable right now. He's so weak. He's so weak. The only time he's ever been weaker than this is like right after January 6th. The FCC militarization would beg to differ. That's really bad stuff. Obviously, for Jimmy Kimmel to, like, that whole situation is infuriating on so many different levels. But that stuff is not, you guys understand, like, American voters, they are going to look at that and voice their opposition to his extremeness.
Like, Hutch is not wrong here, but I feel like he's missing the larger picture. I feel like he's on one side of the conversation where there were two things that I said are equally important to keep in mind. Like when I argue with conservatives and conservatives say, oh my God, it was a landslide election. It was a blowout. You know, I say, well, no, it wasn't really. As much as you guys want to make it sound like that, it wasn't really a blowout. He didn't get as many votes as Biden. He won a plurality, not a majority of the vote, not even over 50% of the people that did vote. And the swing states that he won were all fairly close, right? 350,000 votes would have theoretically swung it the other way. Now, that being said, even though all of our elections are fairly close, right? Now, on the Democratic side, I would say, in a way, it was a blowout because a person like this shouldn't even be close to winning any elections in the United States. This person should be getting blown the f*** out. It shouldn't even be close that a person that is this authoritarian, that is this outwardly divisive of the country, derisive of his political opponents, just moral decay, everything else, right? That this person shouldn't even be close to the presidency. And the fact that he was able to win it all, regardless of how close or not close, is I think speaks a lot to the character right now, the fabric of our country. I do think that there's going to be, I've said this before, and nothing has changed my opinion on this yet. I think there's going to be a big reset on the conservative side of politics after Trump is gone, because I do think it is a cult. I don't think he's like anointed a follow-up yet. And I think a lot of Republicans are going to be looking around trying to grab power after Trump is gone. However, I think the big mistake here is just assuming that once Trump is gone, everything goes back to normal. I think that the only way that your mind can process this event like that is if you think that the Republican Party randomly wound up here and this is where we're at now because of Trump. But I think the broader picture and the reason why I think it's so important to fight on so many things is that the Republican Party has been trending in this direction, and there's, you know, who's to say that what comes after Trump isn't worse than Trump? I don't think it's enough to just say, oh, look, like Trump's popularity is the lowest it's ever been. That's true. Trump is not that popular electorally. They're probably going to get smashed in midterms. That's probably true as well, I think, unless something happens authoritarianly, like he, you know, deploys a National Guard to prevent people from voting. But the who's to say that who comes after without like a forced reset isn't worse? Like, that's a big issue, I think, number one. And then number two, we still have to be here for three more years with Donald Trump as the president, which is also scary, because who's to say what he could or couldn't do that we can't undo by the time he's gone, you know? Yeah, that's so, like, I understand these guys' perspective, but I feel like they're just looking at the next election and they don't have like a longer time horizon on things, which at this point, especially Hutch being his age, I think Hutch is about my age, right? We're like the same age. I think we've been around long enough to kind of see the trajectory of things and know that like there needs to be a course correction. It can't just be, oh, good job, like we won the next midterms and we won the next election, guys. Like, let's see who the Republicans put up next time, LOL. Probabilistically, do you think we're doomed? Like 80% chance of shit is just for good? I'm not sure. I don't really know. I think, I feel like my read, maybe it's just an age thing, or maybe it's an age plus, you know, living in this environment thing. I feel like my read on like political situations and stuff that's going on, I feel like it's gotten better. I feel like a lot of my predictions are generally accurate now, more so than I even realized. One of the things that is a little bit blackpilling to me, that we used to fight a lot was, I remember in 2020, when did I have that? I had a big argument with ExcusMe. And he challenged me on that. Can you name something that Americans want that lobbyists don't want, right? Where's a huge event where all of America wants the thing, but lobbyists were to prevent it from happening? And when I considered that question, and then I dug a little bit into the, was it Gillens and Page? That study on like lobbyists versus America or whatever. And then I started to realize, I don't know if, I don't think that corporate interests or lobbyists or rich people have as much influence as I thought on the political system. And then now, seeing where we're at now, I think it's incredibly scary. Somehow I feel like we've gotten to the worst of all worlds, where we live like, how do I explain this? God, I need a communist / fascist historian. I feel like we live in an authoritarian oligarchy, where like the wealthy corporations kind of sort of are in charge of a lot, but they don't actually dictate anything to the president. The president dictates everything to them. Like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard that in Russia, like, if shit got bad enough, the oligarchs would just have Putin assassinated. I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard it said that that's the thing, that if the if Putin were to fuck around too much, then, you know, he would take a trip. If all the oligarchs started to lose power, lose, you know, their status, lose their money, that he would be in huge, he'd be in big trouble. And in the United States, I keep waiting for, where are my oligarchs to come and save us, please? Can I have my big businesses step in and bully Trump into not being f-ing crazy? And it's just not happening. And I don't know if it's because we have so much institutional power that the oligarchs aren't used to functioning that way. And because we have such institutional power, we have like, and Trump has taken over that institutional power as an authoritarian. Like, he wields more power than an ordinary authoritarian would wield. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. It's like some paradoxical, like, imagine you don't want one man ruling everything, so you create this whole superstructure to manage everything. But then imagine if one man could become in charge of the superstructure. And it's like, okay, well, this is like the worst of all worlds. Watching Trump being able to wield the FCC as a weapon against comedians he doesn't like is really, really, really crazy to me. That's just insane. That Kimmel stuff is crazy. And the fact that you have billionaires that are like on their knees, like begging Trump for favors, is like, okay, well, I thought that the, yeah, I don't know. I thought that the wealthy people were supposed to be running everything. I was hoping that the rich corporations would step up and save us, but apparently not. The pharmaceuticals didn't save us from the massive defunding of all the medical research. The pharmaceuticals didn't save us of the all the vaccines getting pulled and the recommendations getting fucked. Apple didn't save us from the tariffs, you know, wreaking havoc on the entire world economy right now. The you know, Facebook and Elon, and nobody saved us from government overreach in terms of censoring people on or government censorship on social medias or broadcast TV. Google, none of the big businesses saved us with H-1B visas. All the greedy corporations that wanted cheap labor, they didn't save us for the H-1B visa stuff. Yeah, it's pretty spooky, I would say. Oh, sorry. All that to say that somebody said, like, how doomer are you? I guess my biggest letdown has probably been my tech bros. The fact that they were so easily swindled and so easily bought into all of the Trump craziness, I just think is so deeply pathetic and upsetting. And I feel like it reinforces my very doomer view of people having a very narrow subset of interests and people not knowing anything at all about outside of their subset of interests. But then if you're really accomplished in one area, you assume way more knowledge than you actually have. So all of these like tech boomer dipshits assuming that they knew so much about politics and government and everything without knowing anything at all and just like having the worst positions ever on everything. I don't know, it's really sad to me. But oh yeah, I don't think I argued it out, but like somebody brought up that we're just here because of the military-industrial complex. Like, bro, I wish the military-industrial complex was running our shit now, because we'd be sending way more shit to Ukraine. We'd be way more involved in the Ukrainian stuff. What was a study you were talking about with lobbying? There was a big paper made by two people. Is it Gillens and Page? Am I making this up? Oh, and then there's a bunch of like response papers back and forth over, you know, who dictates American policy more, the middle class, the wealthy, or lobbyists or whatever. People go back and forth on this. And I feel like the ending consensus-y opinion is that all these special interest groups, they can influence policy like at the fringes. So like maybe like right to repair stuff can be influenced by corporate lobbyists, but on like big stuff, the American public basically gets what they want, you know, for whatever reason, yeah, for better or for worse. Yeah, I've had emails from people from Sri Lanka, from a couple other countries. I always forget the names, but I see this guy in chat saying, Destiny, I live under an actual authoritarian oligarchical system. I don't even know anything about Sri Lanka's government. I just got an email from a dude there. Or maybe they said they fled to Sri Lanka. I don't remember. And everything that's happening in the U.S. right now, I can name an example of that happening in my own country, Tunisia, that has happened in the past 10 years. Limfeo, you should honestly start using this talking point more often. The problem is that one big assumption that something that I've argued about for a lot of years is the idea that if you were to explain fascism to conservatives, but you don't use the word fascism, they'd actually be okay with it. They would actually be excited for it, right? Having a strong leader with centralized power, with the ability to save the country, you know, using his own wisdom and guidance from his pre-selected people, you know, and not having to cuck out to Congress or some weak decentralized government. Like, I think a lot of conservatives would actually be on board with that. And yeah, I think one of the huge issues that we've had is this assumption that, well, you know, we need to study history so we don't repeat it. But it's like, well, hold on a second. Maybe there are some people who would want to repeat history. I never really personally consider that, you know. Obviously, the go-to example is always like the Nazis. And it's like, well, if you were somebody that believed in the Nazi project, you probably would want to repeat that history, right? Why did we always assume that, you know, those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it? Maybe those that study history would want to repeat it depending on the position they occupy in society or in government, you know. But we took Nazis in after World War II. We took in people that were involved in like a lot of research and stuff because we didn't want to lose the information, one, to nothing, and two, we didn't want the Soviets to take them all in. The Soviets also took in a lot of people after World War II from the Nazi regime as well. Everybody likes to bring up this to try to show some hypocrisy on the West or whatever. Everybody likes to say, well, oh, well, you don't know about Operation Paperclip, do you? I bet you don't know about Operation Paperclip. I bet you don't know about Operation Paperclip, where they took all the Nazis, blah, blah. Right? The Soviet had their own version of this. Operation, I don't know how you pronounce this. Oso Aviakim? I don't know how to pronounce this. But, like, they did the same shit. And they took even more, I think. But, yeah, after the war, you know, everybody obviously, you know, you don't want to just lose these, you know, weapons researchers or, you know, whatever else. You don't want to lose these people to the wind. Can you explain why the H-1B one visa thing is bad? The United States has a huge shortage of high-skill. Well, the United States could... The thing is that the United States is an incredibly productive economy with a ton of capital, with direct, like with foreign direct investment from across the world, to where if you give us employees, we can probably put them to work productively in almost any place. And for some industries, there was like a big lack of, well, really for every industry, people say they want high skill labor via H-1B, but even for low skill labor, like we could use more of those workers too. So H-1B was just a way to bring in more people from other countries to do work here. But everything for conservatives is a zero sum game. So if other people are winning, it must mean that we're losing. So if an H-1B worker is winning, it means that domestic workers are losing. Every single thing is a zero-sum game. So they hate all forms of immigration or all forms of beneficial trade or all forms of anything that helps anybody else is like all must be hurting us is how it works. Yeah. Okay, so I got a random email, I think 2 days ago before I went out, 3 days ago. When was my event? On the 18th. Saying that my YouTube channel... They reviewed it and they said that it was not in the safety creator guidelines for the whole channel. I don't know what that means. I've never gotten an email like that before. So they said that it's ineligible for monetization and I can try to reapply in 90 days. I don't know what that means. I don't know if we can. I think August is looking into appealing it, but we recently reviewed your channel and found it is in violation of our creator responsibility guidelines. I don't even know. At Destiny, do you acknowledge all the Republicans pushing back against FCC overreach? If anything comes of it, sure, I'll acknowledge it. But the issue that you run into, and I think I've demonstrated this enough over and over again, the issue is that they'll say that they're opposed to it. But at the end of the day, the only thing a politician cares about, remember what I've said, the most important thing is who do you vote for? A politician's job is to win your vote. That's it. And so you can be as critical as you want of a politician, but if you're going to vote for them, regardless of how they act, then it really doesn't matter how publicly opposed you are to any particular thing they do. Will you continue on being a corporate shill? No offense. There's plenty of brainless populist people that you can watch. I have no idea why you would come to my channel. I try to do like fact-based, intelligent, research-oriented, data-driven analysis here. If you want somebody to go tell you big business bad, there are so many other much more retarded people to watch. I don't know why you'd be here for that. At Destiny, someone is losing the American worker. Only the H-1B holder and the company is winning, but a worker goes without salary. This is assuming there's a fixed sum of labor in the country to be done, and that if an H-1B worker comes in, there's no other equivalent labor that the other worker could do, number one. And number two, it also ignores the fact that the consumer generally benefits because we get access to more goods and services for either cheaper prices or things that would just previously not be available because there's more workers to fill the rollout. But I don't feel like arguing lump of labor fallacy right now. Future projects. Why do I have that listed? Oh, I'll probably keep doing on America things. And then I think I have like my tour stuff lined up for the West Coast. I don't know past that. Financially, like I'm in a position to where like I can always retire and be fine. It would be very boring. But I mean, I can do it. The only thing that sucks is that I don't have, like, having the extra money is nice to be able to throw my money behind things or to be able to support things that I believe in. It would be nice. So, like, it'd be nice to be able to significantly financially contribute to, you know, like the canvassing projects or the America tour. That's probably going to be a little bit strained given that, like, I'm still dealing with my court case. The filings on this are just so fucking, I don't think I can talk about our meet and confers. We'll see if they do. What they're trying to push for and actually it's just the dumbest shit in the fucking universe. So I think either her family is incredibly rich or the law firm must just hate me and they're doing all this pro bono because like some of the stuff they're trying to do is just like I don't know where they get the money for some of this shit, but I guess we'll see how that continues to go. For people that were watching the docket, we made our motion to dismiss. That filing was done yesterday. The chances of getting the case like dismissed on a motion to dismiss are very, very hard. Like we don't, it's, like my guess is probably not going to get it dismissed on that. It'd be exceptional if it happened. But then all of the stuff in the motion to dismiss hopefully goes into the motion for summary judgment. And I'm hoping that on that we should be able to get this dismissed, although that's a few months away. It'll depend on how much the judge wants to look outside of the strict like four corners of the complaint, I guess. But that's up to the judges that go over it. Has your experience with the current civil litigation changed your views on how it works, et cetera? Not sure if you had any strong views beforehand. I don't know, maybe a little bit. I don't like the thing that I don't like the most, I guess, is just the imbalance behind. There's just like a lot of unique things in this particular civil litigation that makes it annoying. Like the like plaintiff being public about every single part of her life and then plaintiff like intentionally maliciously spreading my revenge porn through like the complaint, but then also like filing as a Jane Doe and trying her best to seal everything that she can to try to get me in trouble if I talk about anything. Like she's just like, it's all like games to her basically at the end of the day. And then the fact that she has no reputation at stake and doesn't care about, you know, any bad public stuff for her, so she can just say or do whatever. But then obviously on my end, like I'm like, it's not even really that I'm fighting the civil case anymore. I think they've given up on winning that. It's just the all the PR stuff basically as a result of whatever motions they want to spam at me. What is our docket up to? Are we almost at 130 entries on we're barely through discovery. They haven't even really, they won't even fucking hand over shit to us. Fucking so stupid. But it's just like such a busy docket on like nothing has happened. We're at 132 docket number, not even a year in. Why do you say low chance? A 12b1 is very different from a 12b6. For 12b1, based on factual attack, the judge doesn't presume the complaint is true and can actually be a fact finder. There's also precedent for plaintiffs having to prove they have subject matter jurisdiction. Well, it depends. I think it comes down to it. Really, I think it's going to come down to how much the judge weighs into the ABMC being willing to testify on to receiving something, even if she has no proof of it. Right. I think it's basically what the whole thing will come down to. Surely this is bad for the lawyer's credibility. Why are they inting their shit for this? Well, I mean, I don't even think they do this type of law ordinarily, so they don't give a fuck. The boring stuff about the politics stuff is that, like, it's one thing to fight the right all the time. I think I can do that. It's one thing to fight the right and the tankies all the time. I think I can do that. But fighting the right and the tankies and having no liberal allies, I think at some point it's very exhausting. And I think, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I feel like that plus, like, the lawsuit stuff plus, like, it's just like I'll have all the random death threats and the weird stalking shit and everything. Yeah, I don't know. I might take like a just a politics break or something. I don't know. It's just a lot of annoying shit to deal with, I guess. How'd you feel about Soypill doing his meme shit at the event during the Q&A? I don't know why. I don't know why Kyle and Soypill decided that they needed to have the same conversation that I feel like we've had a million times before. Like I said, I understand their perspective on things. I don't know what else I can say that I haven't already said, I guess, in regards to my perspective on that. But yeah. Well, you never really go on holidays or abroad. I think I'm lucky enough that I generally like enjoy doing what I do. Like when I come out of events like the debating stuff, like that's fun for me. Like they always ask if I need a break or like, do you want to do whatever? I'm like, no, fucking, we can do this all day. Like that type of stuff was enjoyable. So I don't feel like I need a vacation from that. Like I would just do this recreationally. Like my biggest challenge, even when I'm walking around, even when we were walking around that event, was like hearing people talking about shit in the background. Like somebody bring up like Israel or somebody would bring up like Charlie Kirk or Trump. And I would like, I'd want to jump in and say something. So I feel like stuff like that is enjoyable for me. I don't think I need the vacation from that. Right now, just the annoying stuff is like, I think the only annoying things right now are dealing with the lawsuit and the demonetization are probably the two biggest annoying things. I just need like, there has to be like some strong center left lib voice. And I need to, I wish I could see that emerging more. And I feel like I've been waiting for a while. Oh, maybe I could draft IRI into that to some extent. Yeah. But I want there to just be like a no compromise, strong center left voice. That's not like fucking with tankies or cocking out to some bullshit, just like a strong Brian Tyler Cohen has been doing a pretty good job too. Oh, and then Mehdi Hasan has been my fucking godsend on Twitter, even if he's a big Israel Palestine guy. Gavin has been doing a good job. Yeah. You ever get nervous at these events? Do I get nervous? I don't know. I feel like if something is going to happen, it's going to happen for whatever reason. Like there's a thing that people say, but I don't think this helps at all. I think you either feel it or you don't. Like, don't worry about things that are outside of your control. For whatever reason, naturally, I just tend to not worry about things that are outside of my control. If you were worried about it, I don't know if you could just turn that off, but I don't know. I don't think about it much. Do you still get money from Kick? Yes, Kick, my god tier free speech platform and my website. There seemed to be a huge amount of MAGA there, way more than normal at these events. Any reason why? Well, there was a huge Charlie Kirk vigil, and they all came after that. That's why we waited a little bit. Actually, if I do lose my YouTube monetization and all my income now is just like capital gains from my investments, that would maybe be the best time to live in a high income tax state. Lives in LA. Oof. The only problem with West Coast, one of the big reasons why I agreed with Melina to come to the East Coast is that it puts me on a better footing with Europe. If I moved to the West Coast, I would really have to start streaming at, 10 a.m. to be the same time as I stream here? Oof. That's twilight hours for me. 10 a.m. Tim Miller, Sarah Longwell, JVL from The Bulwark are doing a good job. Yeah, they are, but aren't those guys, like, never Trumpers? What will happen to YouTube? Are the edited videos going to stop? I'm not sure. I have to figure out what I want to do with my YouTube stuff. If it's not making money, then it's a huge money sink. But obviously the thing I want the most is the exposure and everything. I don't want to lose all of that. I mean, I imagine I would still keep it going to some extent. I'm just not 100% sure what that looks like yet. But I'll wait for, word back from the partner guy. And then after that, if we don't make any progress there, I'll probably like do a tweet to see if I can get them to review it that way. And then if they say no for that, then I just have to decide what I want my monthly investment to look like in that. Does it also impact your surrogate channels? Yeah, if you're demonetized on YouTube, you can't make money on any channel. Don't you feel like these college debate types of events are actually sort of a system breaker if they go viral? When you go on Piers or Tim Pool, you're debating on their platforms on their terms. If you're the biggest lib creator and hosted events, Republicans can just coordinate to not interact. These open debate platforms are hard to ignore and also attract potential new audience a little bit. I mean, like a little bit, but like the issue is like, one, I don't have a lot of personal enjoyment out of it. Actually, I've always been like this. If you've watched me play like League or if you watch me play StarCraft, I've hated smurfing. It's just not fun for me. I hate the people that smurf too. I think that they're losers. Like anytime somebody hits like Diamond 4 and they can't go further, or in StarCraft they get like Masters and they can't go further, they just like create a new smurf account to go shit on noobs. I think those types of people are losers, and I've never enjoyed it. I've never enjoyed smurfing. So like going to college campuses to just shit on college kids is just so boring to me. I don't mean that like, and I don't try to mean that in a condescending or rude way. I just mean like it's like, obviously I do this professional. I've done it for a long time. And the idea of just like railing a bunch of college kids that are lining up to try their hand at debating me, it just feels like very unsatisfying. I don't enjoy that. And you can get way deeper in a one-on-one conversation with somebody who's, you know, supposed to be more educated as well. I just think it's sad that all the conservatives dodge those conversations as hard as they fucking can. What would happen with your editor since he gets a cut of the money? Well, I'd have to pay them out of pocket, right? Have you watched the Metatron response? No, that guy's a loser. I've looked at his tweets. That guy's just a loser. Like, I don't know what I'm like. There's nothing to like even respond to. The Bulwark people are all de facto Dems now. The Dems actually tried recruiting Sarah to run for Congress. You'd probably agree with Tim and JV on a lot of stuff. Yeah, maybe, but I don't like what I'm tired of is like the, I don't want to call it the imperfect ally, but I'm tired of making these like weird alliances with people that when any major event comes up, we're going to schism super hard. Like, I would rather just have a bunch of people who, you know, like super align with me politically. Like, I'd rather just do that than trying to like form these weird temporary strategic alliances with everybody. It's cringe. I don't know. But maybe the Bulwark people are more on that like center left shit now. I don't know. Not sure. I haven't watched it enough to know what all their positions are on things. That one woman at the event who was like, I used to be a Democrat and then J6 happened and now I'm a conservative. I'm like, what? What do you think about Luke Beasley? I like Luke. He seems like a cool guy. I feel like all of the, am I wrong, or is the Midas Touch network, is that like a network? All those people are like strong center left people, right? But they feel like they generally don't do confrontational stuff or conversational stuff. It's just kind of like covering the news, with the exception of maybe Mockler, who goes out and does the video stuff maybe, right? Any opinion on the hecklers? I mean, it's lame, but what are you going to do? Have you tried switching game mindset? You're not playing the debate game. You're playing the political power game. I don't have as much of an interest in that. If I had more of an interest in that, I'd probably try to get involved politically somehow, like running for some kind of office or whatever, although I don't even know what that would look like. But I just, that's not enjoyable. I dropped my thing. Hold on. That's not enjoyable at all to me. I don't like that as much. Like, I can appreciate the people that do it, and I can, like, analyze it and understand it, but I don't like to participate actively in it. Like, that kind of stuff is really boring to me. Were you serious about that one heckler dude just hanging out afterwards at a restaurant buying drinks? Yes. He ended up showing up there, yeah. Got that fire video out of it, though. Oh, this shit. You get paid just for having viewers on Kick. I may as well go watch over there and not have any delay if YouTube doesn't give me anything. Yeah, actually, technically, watching on Kick is a lot more it's a lot more advantageous to me. Kick.com/destiny. And there are emotes there, so I won't have any on YouTube either forever or for 3 months or until they listen to my appeal, I guess. I feel like there should be a camera facing the crowd to catch people doing dumb stuff. Oh, yeah. I keep trying to get... I recommended a guy, but apparently couldn't make it last time. I might just break down my studio downstairs and just like have a mobile kit of stuff. Traveling with camera shit is actually cancer AIDS though. Holy shit, it's so cancer AIDS. I remember, I brought what I thought was just enough for like a simple 3-camera setup for this. And it was like so many cases of stuff, to have 3 cameras, 3 tripods, 3 tripod heads, 3 lights. It's just so much shit, plus the lav mics, plus, and this was just for, this was just to do a recording. It wasn't even for live streaming it. If I live stream it, I would also need some type of audio interface, and I would need some type of video interface. I don't know how to bring in. Yeah, I might just do, you need a dedicated dude for that. I feel like at this point, I just want to do it, because I feel like every time I do some of these events, like, shit starts to get fucked. It triggers the fuck. Out of me, yeah. Yeah, I might just end up doing it, yeah. How does Chris Williamson do it? I mean, he's in a carefully prepared studio for all of his stuff, right? I was going to suggest something like that. You need to build a flight case where you can pre-build a live stream setup where you can plug in video and audio that's just plugging. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I might do that today just to see what I need for that. Yeah. You could push your website more. Oh yeah, there's also destiny.gg. You can watch me from there. And sub on there and everything. It's helpful too. Well, although technically that's an embed, so you'd still be watching on Kick or YouTube, but. Yeah, the bagging for it is crazy. You really want to find a Master Photography suitcase. They have modular padding for that. I think the suitcases I already have modular padding because they're the suitcases that come with the just forwarding this from Soros, thanks. Thank you, Topical Soup. B and H, what am I thinking of? Like, all of these Nanlite cases come with really nice travel stuff. So, like, I have the cases for it. It's just a lot of stuff to lug around. Like, I need two big suitcases like this. Or three? If I'm bringing... Well, no, because I don't need to bring lights usually, at least. Lighting is another huge... But I don't need to bring lighting, which is nice, so... Yeah, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm a photographer for the big shit, like lights and tripods and stuff. You just rent on location. Or we just do it outside, I think. So, or it's like an indoor lit, well-lit place. And actually, I can just crank the ISO. Fuck it. Like, I have these, like, I'm obsessed with doing, like, 0 to 400 ISO on every camera. Like, I could, like, these cameras go up to fucking 12,000. I can probably, you know, push, like, 3,000 ISO and it'll be fine. It's a live event. It's not like I need to look like a fucking, you know, Kubrick film or something. Why not just use phones plus tripods? Well, I have to figure out a way to route all the video into one thing. We'll talk about that later. That's all techie shit. Okay, so where were we? YouTube demonetization. I'm never like in a problem to where all of the money that I make is for like supporting stuff. So like, I guess if you're watching my stuff and you're thinking like, oh God, he's gonna be homeless. Like, I can retire and be fine. I have enough money to live off my capital returns, assuming the United States doesn't collapse and all that. So that's not like an issue. It's just like money that I can pour into doing events or supporting canvassing or whatever else. So just as a thing. Future projects. I'll still follow the Unfuck America people around, assuming they have good security everywhere. I have my West Coast events that are coming up soonish. We have security there. For the Unfuck America event itself, I thought it went pretty well. There were some outdoor conversations. I did like a lot of interviews with media people. Then we did the indoor one, which I thought went okay. There were a lot of hecklers, kind of got kind of crazy. I don't know. It's really hard when we were like so... Are you going to watch the Decoding of the Gurus? They disagreed with your understanding of the tit-for-tat and Prisoner's Dilemma. Yeah, you can link me. I'll watch that after, actually. It'd be interesting seeing what they have to say about it. It's very weird how, like, factually different we are, that like, the worlds we live in for some of these people. Destiny, those live streams got great views for a live event. Oh, yeah, what on the indoor event, what were my max viewers? I didn't actually check. I actually liked that a lot of people who asked questions didn't know who you were. Yeah, maybe. A lot of weird trans questions. 20K. Oh, shit. 20K, 21K. I'm not going to lie. Genuinely afraid that you stop doing this. You're right there. Aren't people I ally with, but it's bad for viewers too. We got nobody else to throw. Yeah, I think that, like, it's hard not to... I'm trying not to main character or hero complex too much or whatever. But it does feel a little bit weighty sometimes that if I f*** an event up or if I f*** something up or if I do something, whatever... The fact that it feels like there's not anybody else that can step up and do a similar thing. I think that's kind of annoying. I feel like Adam Mockler just had like the perfect... And I'm not asking for like... I don't want everybody to just agree with everything I say.
I also want to point out the double standard of right-wingers lately. So Elon Musk has been targeting live streamer Destiny. Destiny went on Piers Morgan and essentially said this argument: I will not condemn the Charlie Kirk shooting until Donald Trump himself turns down the temperature, because the onus is on him to tone it down, to turn down the temperature. Once it comes in a top-down way from him, then we can all follow his lead. But we are not going to do it in a one-sided way where we're constantly condemning violence over and over and over while they're constantly either committing violence, cheering on violence, laughing and memeing about it like Donald Trump Jr. did. And Elon Musk has been going insane. He said,
see, like, if we were on the conservative side of things, every single person on the left would just give that take. Now, I'm not asking for like a circle jerk suck fest or whatever, but like I didn't talk to Adam about my take here, but obviously he was able to understand it completely. And then he echoes it and he echoes the important points. And even if you might disagree with some parts strategically, it's not like the LSF comments where it's like, now I hate Destiny and he murdered my dog and he raped my sister and he set my house on fire. But in this one narrow instance, I kind of sort of regret, like, you know, I feel like this is an easy enough thing to do.
Let Destiny say what he wants, but then also pay the price under the law. He's referring to Destiny in this. He said, I don't think this...
I also, and again, this is like my problem. There's things that like benefit me and there's things that hurt me at the same time. Like I don't have, I'm very bad at emoting things and feeling some things, I guess, to be fair. So I'm not like crying on stream over things, but you got to understand that for average people, like if I was like a normal human being with normal emotional processing, having like the world's richest man plus people who are part of the government, plus like Donald Trump Jr., you know, tweeting shit at you, saying that like you need to go to jail and you need to be arrested. And like, I've already been swatted. I've already had multiple FBI visits. Like this is a huge deterrent to a lot of people getting involved politically. Like if you want to talk about chilling effect, I can't think of anything in the Biden administration that's even remotely similar to this. Like it's actually crazy. The amount, like I said, the only reason why I ultimately decided to go to Denver was because these fucking losers were tweeting at me. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, then, you know, you show up and arrest me or whatever. Because this is fucking wild. Why the fuck are you tweeting at me saying I should go to jail? What the fuck?
Guy should be banned, but Amazon should stop paying him to incite murder. That's insane. Separately, incitement to murder and domestic terrorism is a felony crime. For that, he should go to prison. So he's calling for live streamers to go to prison. Reminder, there's nothing illegal about what Destiny said at all. You can disagree with it, but calling for him to go to jail, to go to prison on Twitter is only something that Elon Musk would do and the right-wingers would do. But to continue, let's go through some of Charlie Kirk's own words. Will Stancil points out, we should...
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of wild. People were saying that Hassan has, or not Hassan, sorry, that Vosh was giving a good take on things. So I hate having to explain this stuff because all of you, everybody knows this kind of stuff intuitively. And it feels stupid that I have to explain it because we all know it. Okay, let's say we have like minor chord progression, okay? Super basic, okay? Okay, no melody, okay? So nothing up here or whatever, right? Fuck. I can't, whatever. Without even playing a melody, okay? When you hear harmony, okay? When you hear stuff in the background, you know what like the mood is, right? You don't need a melody for somebody to tell you, oh, this is a sad thing, right? Yeah, this is sad, right? If somebody were to play a melody on top, then you'd know it's super sad, especially if it incorporates all the sad notes, right? If somebody out of nowhere, if you have like, you know this harmony exists, you know it's here in the background constantly, okay? You know that. If somebody were to play something major, like that's like a major, like that E is not... Like, the assumption would be, if I could play better, you would understand better, but the assumption would be that there's some kind of, like, modal mixture going on, or there's some kind of, like, texture mixture you're borrowing from minors or majors or whatever. But it's, like, the harmony overall is, like, it's a sad song, because it's in minor. It's a sad song. You know it's a sad song, okay? Somebody throwing in, like a major riff isn't going to make you think that, like, oh, my God, the whole song has changed and the whole mood has changed or whatever, right? It's just, like, it's a thing that you add, right? When people talk about me... And they try to bring up a clip of me saying, there's some clip, I think, of me from 7 years ago playing, I think it's PUBG with Mr. Mooten. And I'm saying something like, oh, we need to genocide all the conservatives or whatever. When you hear me say this, oh, the Decoding the Gurus thing is behind a paywall. Oh, I can't listen to it. When you hear me say this in my community, it's obviously a joke. Okay. the overall mood, the overall texture of my community is not one that supports political violence. And if you wanted, we could farm on the other side, you know, 100. Some guy sent me some compilation of me talking against political violence. Like, I've said this over and over and over again. I'm not worried about making a joke in my community about political violence because I know my community is not a community that supports political violence. I just know that. Because we talked about it so much, because my intention there and everything is so clear. Yeah, it's just so clear and obvious. For the misogyny stuff, where we have like 90% of my audience is men, so it's just because of the fact that so many of us are male, and because of the fact that the engagement that we have with women isn't always the best, those are jokes that I'm not generally as comfortable making, because I don't know the interpretation, I don't know the environment as well, or I'm not as confident to say that, like, oh no, nobody in my community is misogynistic, right? That's a harder line to cross. Anti-Semitic stuff is way easier. I feel confident making a lot of anti-Semitic jokes. I don't think my community is anti-Semitic. It's not a thing I'm worried about, you know? I say all of this to say that it's very annoying that sometimes people will try to clip like one or two comments from mine and say like, oh, Destiny encourages political violence. No shot. It does not happen in my community. We have called it out constantly. And somebody actually emailed me this and pointed it out. I didn't even realize this. That screenshot that everybody is passing around to go after Hassan about the gun shooting thing about political violence, that screenshot came from my subreddit. The guy that made that screenshot emailed me and he said, hey, everybody's passing around. This was literally your sub that called it out. Or for misinformation, do you remember when Hassan was saying this guy in Destiny's community was spreading lies about my chat? The only reason Hassan knew that was because it was my community that figured out that the guy faked a screenshot, right? We figured it out in our own community. We were like, hey, fuck you. And then we banned the dude. Yeah. I only say that because I take like a pretty comprehensive view on political discourse and like responsibility for communities and say, hey, we shouldn't believe this. But then on the other side, they do the exact opposite thing where they will never say the thing, but like the natural and inevitable conclusion will be violence, right? So when Charlie Kirk is saying things like these people should all be tried, and hung for treason, or we're in a battle of good versus evil and these people want to take your kids from you, or these people want to, whatever shit. It's like, okay, bro, like, you're not telling people to go and commit violence, but, like, that's where you're leading them. Like, it's the only logical place. And then they act dumb over it. Yeah, fuck. I don't remember why somebody said something in chat that encouraged me to bring this up, but it's annoying that when people try to say, like, oh, doesn't this guy encourage political violence? No, nobody watches my shit is ever coming away thinking that, like, oh, yeah, like, we're going to do, we're going to all go do some political violence. Like, it's just not what my community does. And the only way you can actually get that impression... Oh, because of the Vosh thing. The only way you can actually get that impression, oh, thank you for bringing me back to that, is if you're listening to conservatives that are clipping my shit, for 30 seconds. The reason why I bring that up is because if you're in a community constantly and you say that, like, I'm pro-Nazi, I'm pro-genocide, I'm pro-Trump, I'm pro all these crazy things, and then you cover some of my stuff and you're like, oh, well, this was actually good, I guess. That's not enough. Like, people are saying, like, oh, you have to build a Vosh bridge. I actually think that a Vosh bridge right now, I actually think it would be possible. Because I think Vosh sees, like, the moment and realizes shit is fucked. But Vosh has spent so much time poisoning his community against me, the same way that Hassan does, that I have no desire there to even try to do that. Because I know that the microsecond some other thing comes up, it's going to be a hard split again, and then I'm going to get backstabbed again. And it's like, why would I put myself in the same position for the 50 millionth time with somebody? So if anybody wants to ever, like, join with me in any way that, you know, used to or has covered me negatively, and I don't mean negatively, like, oh, here are the opinions of Destiny that I disagree with. I'm, like, saying, like, I'm transphobic or pro-fascist or secretly Republican. Remember, I'm supposed to become a Republican in when? For, like, 10 years? Destiny's about to, in 6 months, Destiny's going to announce that he's a hardcore Republican. In 6 months, Destiny's going to go conservative. Like, no, fuck that. I need to see, like, more proactive movement on the other side. For people like to genuinely think that I would ever work with them again. It's just like too much. It's too stupid. It would be nice, but it's not worth it. Sorry, somebody's not. I think I saw somebody in chat say that there were a lot of people in Vosh's chat that thought I was legitimately right wing. Like, a lot of people in these left wing spaces have spent literally years at this point assassinating my political beliefs and character and everything. And it's like, again, if you want to disagree with me for some things, like, I have a lot of out there opinions. You can disagree with me on some things. That's fine. But they're just, like, characterizing me as, like, right wing or Trump adjacent, like what Hassan does all the time. It's like, this is so stupid. Did you consider if YouTube demonetization happened because they saw your They Took My Income tweet and thought they should act too? I have no idea. I think the nice thing about the Twitter tweet about the about the demonetization on Twitch, not demonetization, the ban on Twitch, is I think it shows you how unified all of the Republican platforms are, and it shows you how willing they are to play fast and loose with the truth as well, right? ABC and I'll say two other journalists reached out to me to try to confirm that story. Nobody on the conservative side tried to confirm any part of that. Nobody did. But you saw, did Breitbart report on it? You saw Russia Today. You saw Fox News, their cable. Jesse Waters talked about it, right? You saw Elon Musk, Tim Pool, Alex Jones. I've gotten hundreds, probably thousands actually, of DMs at this point. Of death threats, of calling me a cuck, congratulations on losing all your money on like so many different platforms, right? So like you can see how quickly, and then not only is it funny that all of them came out like basically in unison with that story, it's funny because the actual story is the exact opposite, right? That I was banned from Twitch like 3 years ago for transphobic stuff, right? Which is the exact opposite of what they would have said, yeah. Fox News article claims they reached out to you in the last line. Wait, really? Usually I get an email. Jesse did not return Fox News Digital's request for comment. Generally, I'll get an email from journalists asking for confirmation on stuff. Sometimes I'll get a DM on Twitter, but I check my DMs. I didn't see anything, so. You ever consider trying to get on the debate stage for the first Dem primary presidential debate? All you need to do is pull at 1% or get 70,000 donations. I don't know. Politics is like practicing politics in that way, like as a political figure, is just not my lane. I don't enjoy, I would have to change so much. I don't know. It'd be a good meme, but if Dan KK Clancy was really anti-Trump, he would unban you out of spite right now. Yeah, that whole Twitch platform is crazy. What is this? I talked to Jimmy Kimmel the day before he got canceled. The last thing he said to me was to keep the fight going. We're going to fight for you, Jimmy. I'll see you in Valhalla. Based. What more do you want your community to do? I don't really know what you guys can do. I don't have like a way to like aim you guys productively. I mean, if you think that there are important things that are worth defending, then I guess bring up the arguments online. But I don't know, like fight with people over it. What I really need is like, we can't do everything on our own. I can't do everything on my own. Like I need other large communities to be willing to step up and like have a fucking backbone and not like pussy out of fucking everything or not spend all their time cozying up to loser fucking tankies because they're afraid of getting bullied. I'm just waiting for those liberal communities to come up. Maybe it's more in like the Mockler space. I need to start looking in that direction more. I want to be clear. Hold on, actually. I keep saying stuff like this. The Unfucking America people and all those guys do a really good job as well. I feel like I'm kind of throwing them under the bus when I say things like that. I don't participate in the TikTok community as much. And the app for that and like how quickly accounts get banned and have to remake shit is like very cancerous and having to censor everything is very cancerous. And so my desire to like engage quickly on TikTok is very low. But those guys have actually stood out for me quite a bit. I think Z has put her neck out for me quite a bit. And a lot of the people that are associated with that project have stuck their neck out for me quite a bit. So, I do feel grateful for that. I never bring them up. But okay, what do we got going on here?
You saw what happened to our brother Jimmy Kimmel?
I saw that.
Wow.
I saw that. But I thought, what's the First Amendment? Never mind.
It depends. But do you understand how powerful that power structure is that pulls off the strings?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I don't want to get into it. But I just want to know.
I peeped it. Whoa, hey.
Them people powerful.
Yes, we headed down a slippery slope, Ocho. We headed down a slippery slope because I remember one time that people said and they made fun of Joe Biden, they made fun of George Floyd, they made fun of a lot of blacks that got killed. And they made a lot of fun of a lot of people that did some things. And that's free speech. Mm-hmm. That's free speech.
Clips are too complex and require context. You need simple messaging. I think my messaging is pretty simple. I think the president should disavow violence. That's a pretty easy, simple message. The only people who make it not simple are people that are mind-fucking themselves more than they need to be.
Now, it's an issue. Like you said, yeah. It happened. I mean, and I, you know, but it's just, we have some times right now. Boy, these next eight, you got to be on your best behavior the next 3 years. You got to be on your best. Yeah. Kids getting kicked out of school. Your passport's getting redeemed and all this kind of other stuff. I'm telling you. And some people are like, oh, that ain't nothing. That's how it starts. What you do is that you sow distrust with your institutions. That's the first and foremost thing. Now, the only truth
Have you seen Drew, the retard Pavlov's response to you on Twitter? His mind is broken. His mind has always been broken. I think, is he Ukrainian or whatever? Like, the only reason you guys liked him is because I think he was, like, anti-Hassan or, like, pro-Ukraine or whatever. But, like, he's always been a very unserious person. That's why I never wanted to do a lot with him in the past. That's why I never threw my lot in with him in the past, yeah.
Institutions. That's the first and foremost thing. Now, the only truth is, I'm giving it to you. The only truth that you're going to be able to get is from Ocho and I. And then you sow distrust. And then I start carving away at certain freedoms that you enjoy.
Okay.